Welcome to the Brave Writer Podcast. I'm Julie Bogart.
Thank you for joining me today on this special edition of the Poetry Tea Time podcast that we share through the Brave Writer Podcast channel. Today, we had the pleasure of interviewing Sylvia Vardell and Janet Wong. Well, very nice to meet you, Janet and Sylvia. Thanks for joining me today to talk about poetry, our passion. Yeah, thank you. I know it was difficult figuring out all of our schedules, so thanks for working with us. I didn't have a chance to see your actual book, but I looked at all of the information about it. What I would like to start with is if you could tell me about Poetry Fridays. I had heard about this from Amy Ludwig Vanderwater, and then I found out you're the creators of that. Is that your idea?
No, we can't take credit for the whole Poetry Friday concept.
Oh.
That started 10 years ago with another blogger, actually, who encouraged people to pause for poetry every Friday with some kind of a post on their blogs. And I've been doing that as a blogger ever since. But Janet and I grabbed hold of that idea for our print anthologies because we felt that it was really fun on the internet, but that teachers and librarians and families might be more inclined to pause for poetry on Friday when things are a little more relaxed and people are open to trying something different for a few minutes. And so that seems to really caught on in the classroom and library world too.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, in homeschool, we pick Tuesdays as our day for poetry, mostly because of alliteration. Tuesday tea time. Uh-huh. Poetry with tea. But I love that. That makes a lot of sense. And so that's really caught on. You've heard that that's happening all over.
Very much, yes.
That's wonderful. Well, tell me then about this book of yours, the poetry anthology that is just released. Tell us its name and a description of your aims, what you hope it accomplishes.
Well, we have several books in our series.
Awesome.
The Poetry Friday anthology series has, depending on how you count things, it has 4 or 5 different books in the series. And this is number 5. Sylvia hasn't seen it yet.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you, Janet.
This is number 5. Actually, number 5 really meshes with what you're doing with Poetry Tea Time, Julie.
Because,
well, more than just with Poetry Tea Time, but what you do with Brave Writer.
Oh, thank you.
In terms of getting the kids involved in writing by actually writing in the books and if I'm understanding it correctly.
Yes.
Writing in the books and also doing some activities. Is that right?
Yeah. So what we do in Brave Writer, really, my original background is in professional writing. My mom has written 85 books. I've been around publishing my whole life. And I worked in the professional world before I started homeschooling. And what I found when I got to the writing curriculum programs that were available to homeschoolers is that they focus so much on format and not writing voice. And what I was always raised to believe was that the sacred voice that's inside is what we want to see on the page, not just regurgitated ideas structured according to a format. So all of my work is around creating this language-rich environment where we read books and we engage with them, but we use that language in our own sort of free writing. You know, I'm a big Peter Elbow fan, that kind of thing. But yes, when we're looking at poetry then, I see it as this source material, right, for the living language life. What creates imagery and a connection to metaphor and symbol and meaning, but it comes, as I noted in your work, it comes to them without them being aware of it, right? Instead of a workbook page that's consciously saying, here's what onomatopoeia is, you get to experience the delight of it in the power of poetry. So that's what we're coming from. So please feel free. I want to hear from you. They already know
right,
what I think.
Right. Well, let me just describe a little bit about the background of this, and then Sylvia can jump in and describe what she did with the what we're calling power pack activities.
Love
okay.
It.
So
yeah.
what we did for this book, the fifth in our series, is we took some of the poems that really have resonated with middle school students from the Poetry Friday anthology for middle school. We
yes.
took 12 of those poems by all different poets: Margarita Engel, Virginia Gaylor Wolf, Robin Hood Black. 12 poems, and then, since they had really nothing to do with each other, I connected the poems with 24 additional poems. So 12 of those poems are called response poems because they respond to the original poem that was in the Poetry Friday anthology for middle school. Now, the Poetry Friday anthology for middle school has 110 poems. We just selected out 12 of them, and then I responded to each one of the 12, and then did a second response poem that's a mentor text for a writing prompt.
Wow.
And Sylvia made a little envelope of these response poems and what we're calling the outside poem from the Poetry Friday anthology for middle school. She made an envelope with a power to you activity writing prompt at the end. And then, well, let's just, I'll show you. So we've got a power pack page.
Wow.
That describes what's in it. So it starts out with a power play activity, then the outside poem, the response poem, the mentor text, and then the power to you writing prompt. So
nice.
She made a power play activity where it's kind of a warm up, a pre-writing exercise.
Yes.
Then there's the poem from the Poetry Friday anthology for middle school. In this case, it's an acrostic called Hoopster, called Future Hoopsters by Avis Harley, that spells out Hoopster Hopes.
Nice.
About basketball.
Yes.
I wrote a poem responding to it in the voice of one of the characters in the story that I cobbled together.
Nice.
We have then a mentor text, which is another response poem of mine. Here it's an acrostic. And then Sylvia's power to you writing prompt says, try an acrostic poem. Now try writing in the form of an acrostic poem. So they've just seen how it's done.
Yes.
Two examples. And now they can follow Sylvia's prompt and write about it. And I'll let you talk more about it, Sylvia.
Right. That's a good overview, Jenna. Thanks. Yeah, what we're trying to do is show them how when you read poems, you'll find some that really speak to you and you kind of collect them just as we do. We collect. And then when you have 10, 12, when you have a variety of poems, then you can make something out of that yourself, whether it's just a collection, an anthology, or if you want to respond as a writer, you can write poetry in response and that can be the end of it, or you can weave together a story of your own, like a verse novel, or sometimes we're calling it a verse novella.
I like that.
And you can make a story out of random poems that you see, that you hear, that you think. You create the characters and their voices, and then you put together those poems through your own original writing. And what I've tried to do is simply create, as Janet said, some sort of inspirational creativity kinds of exercises, rather than, you know, circle this word and underline that. It's much more open-ended. Like one of them is, what would two characters text message to each other?
Yes, I love that. So what you're doing, it's a much more holistic reaction. You're not just parsing it for these elements and then sort of quizzing kids on whether they knew what element it was. You're actually allowing for some full-bodied response. Would that be right?
Exactly. Well said. Full-bodied response. Yes. Story frame, poetry, deep, personal and individual, because I love your notion of how the voice is what it's all about.
Yes.
Anyone can research grammar and spelling, but no one has the thoughts and feelings and experiences that you have as a writer.
Exactly. Yes. Perfect. I love that. Well, I was noticing I have some questions for you and we had them sent to you earlier. Do you mind if we go through a few of those? That was a wonderful introduction.
Sure.
So, Janet, I have here that your writing has appeared in unusual places like subway trains and the White House. What do you consider your favorite or greatest success in sharing your work with others?
Well, I think it has to be the remembering your spirit piece that aired on the Oprah show. After that segment, I had thousands of emails from people who were inspired to finally write their own stories. A lot of people have stories inside them, and I say, put them down on paper, give yourself a chance, you know, at least put them down so that you can share them by giving them to somebody, if not by publishing them. And one of my favorite anecdotes is there was I think he was a second grader in Maryland who was being videotaped for a project that his classroom teacher was doing along with a doctoral student. They were putting together something for a study and they were interviewing all the students after I had had done an assembly with them. And he said so earnestly, Janet Wong is so expiring. And I thought, yes, I do feel that way quite often.
So, oh my gosh.
Reaching that child and that getting him to say that must be the pinnacle of my career.
Oh, that's adorable. So do you put your story in verse then? And what attracted you to poetry over prose, or do you do both?
I do both, but what attracted me to poetry was studying with Myra Cohn Livingston. And I think that you've had other poets, for instance, Christine O'Connell George, I think has been on poetry or had her books featured on Poetry Tea Time. And Myra Cohn Livingston was the mentor to many, many of the poets who are writing today. Ella Shirtle, Little Blue Truck, April Halpern Wayland, who writes picture books and also poetry. Many authors, many poets who are writing today were students of Myra, and I was too. And I wasn't actually going to write poetry. I was going to write picture books, but studying with Myra was the way that I was going to learn rhyme and repetition and rhythm so that I could use those tools and write the next Goodnight Moon. I didn't write the next Goodnight Moon, but I have written some poetry, some picture books, and in the course of studying with Myra, I found out that I actually loved poetry, and so I started poetry for publication.
That's wonderful. Sylvia, what about you? How did poetry become your passion?
That's a good question. Gosh, the roots are deep. I grew up learning English as a second language.
Oh.
And so for me, the rhythm and rhyme of poetry as a very young child was a great way to begin to hear English and figure it out and learn keywords. And I didn't realize that until much, much later, how fundamental that was, you know, grounded in me. And then I teach children's literature. That's my profession. And so I've had a chance to dig deep into all the genres. And I've just found poetry to be so well, in my teaching career, it has changed so much from what we thought we should like,
yes,
to so much freshness and variety published for young people that just really runs the gamut. I'm convinced there's something for everyone. We just need to look. And I really enjoy the poetry community. It's the most giving community in children's literature. And I love how kids are so lit up by poems, how they just respond to them like music, like rock music for teenagers. Poetry for young people just really speaks to their hearts and minds. It's a very powerful tool.
What would you say to parents who have a lingering distaste of poetry from their experiences? How would you help them to bridge that for their children? What is the way to invite them into this exploration without intimidation?
And that's a really good question, and it's a key, I think. And I always say it's why I still have a job. If everyone already loved poetry, I could retire. I think there's so much available. They need to be open to it. So often it's the kids who bring it to the adults, actually, is what I find. They see the show silver screen either on the library shelf or on a poster or on the web, and they want to read it out loud, and then they want to laugh because he's so irreverent. And I think being open to what the kids are bringing home and reading it with them and not expecting it to be so formal and serious and abstract, but to just enjoy really what starts on the playground and on the jungle gym and in playtime, that those are the playful roots of poetry that, we build from with kids. So be open to that and celebrate it. Sing along, chant along, ham it up, have fun with it.
That's wonderful. Perfect. I love that. Now, what was your first language? And do you write any poems in your original language?
Oh my gosh. My first language was German. My parents were both German and immigrated from Germany. And no, I have never written a poem in German. That kind of blows my mind right there. I actually don't really even aspire to write poetry. I feel like my gift is connecting teachers and others, parents, librarians, with the genre. And so I love writing the lessons and activities and units and blog posts and posters and tools, because I like to keep the magic of poetry sort of separate, you know, and celebrate that and then and make the connections.
I love that. One of the things that you said, Janet, and that I'm hearing from you, Sylvia, is this notion of being a curator, maybe, of your own anthology. Could either of you or both of you talk a little about that? I think I could. One of the practices that we advocate in Brave Writer is called copy work. I don't know if you're familiar with that idea. It's where you copy a passage directly from a book that you love, and you make sure that you spell it right and your handwriting's nice and you match the punctuation. We use that to teach the mechanics of writing within the context of meaning generated from the text. And so some kids really love copying song lyrics and poems, but one of the things that you said that just like caught my mind was, what if they made their own curation of poems? How would you select it? How would you organize it? And what have you seen done in your experience? I love this idea.
Well, a couple of things about that. First, also going back to the question you asked earlier about what to do with
parents.
What to do about parents who are uncomfortable with poetry. I was not only uncomfortable with poetry, I hated poetry.
Okay.
When I first heard Myra Cohn Livingston speak, I never thought I would be a poet. When she started reading her poems, this was in the course of an all-day seminar that had several speakers, and she was the only poet speaking. I wasn't there to hear her speak. And when she started reading her poems or reciting her poems, I actually started doodling and looking out the window. But then I heard some things that caught my attention. So I think that that one way to get anyone who is reluctant about poetry to change their mind is to have them hear it. So maybe even start with some poem movies instead of reading actual poems. And on our website, Pomelo Books, P-O-M-E-L-O, pomelobooks.com, and also on a website called nowaterriver.com, No Water River, you'll find lots of poem movies and videos of poets reading their own work. And so that's a nice passive way to get interested in poetry and to get converted over to being a poetry lover.
Wonderful. Thank you for answering that too. I'm sorry I didn't do that.
No problem.
That was perfect. Wonderful.
In terms of curating, that's another way to approach it too, is to say to a child, instead of let me give you this book and you find three poems you like, it could be, let's listen to three poem movies today, or three poets reading their work, and you pick one that you like the best. And then let's try to find that poem in a book to copy. Actually, I do feel that we've done a really great job, if I say so myself, of curating the poems in the Poetry Friday Anthology series. We have over 700 poems in our series by 150 poets. And one thing that we were really keen on doing, I mean, we had tons more to choose from. And so one thing we were really keen on doing when we chose the poems was to pick poems that were very much poems of today and now. Short poems about things that kids would relate to, poems that are abstract and beautiful and maybe for a true diehard poetry fan, but we wanted to reach just the ordinary parent, the ordinary teacher, the ordinary kid who might not be a poetry aficionado yet.
Right. Good. So those anthologies are available through purchase, like at Amazon or in libraries, and our families could use them, check them out for their poetry tea times?
Some libraries have them. Amazon is the best bet. There's also a really great resource. It's a small distributor, small family-owned distributor called QEPbooks.com. Q like in quality, E like in education, P like in professional. QEPbooks.com, and they sell mainly to teachers and school districts, but they also sell to families.
Awesome.
and they're worth contacting. Outstanding customer service.
Wonderful. We're always looking for books to recommend that help invite these families in. And we share a similar belief that poetry needs to be heard, not just read silently to self, which is part of the genesis of this Poetry Tea Time movement.
It's, right, with your Shakespeare, right?
Yes, Shakespeare and all poetry. So we tell kids, we tell parents, you know, go to the library or the store, collect a whole slew of poetry books, stack them all over the table, set the table beautifully, make tea, make scones, make brownies, and then each person just pages through and finds a poem to read aloud. And even the children who can't read yet can always pick poems. It's a crazy thing. They go by illustration or shape on the page, and then a parent will read it. And, you know, when it really catches on, and this happened in our family all the time, you know, they want to read three poems. They don't want to read just one. And so there's this collected experience, but we do no analysis. We literally just sit with the flavor of the poetry and allow that to be enough. So I love what you're saying. I think the thing that sort of caught me was when you said, even putting it in your own book, like to be able to say, I curated my own anthology of poems I really like that I put in my own hand could be really powerful.
Definitely. There's nothing right. like writing the poem out, even the copying, to see the line breaks, the use of capitals and punctuation, the word choice. It slows down the whole poetry absorption process. So I'm a big fan of that. Really helps kids think about how intentional poets are about how they lay the poem out on the page.
Absolutely. In fact, I think that's one of the keys to copy work in general, is that it helps you see the craft. Not right. just read for the plot. And I always talk about how punctuation actually has a voice. Do you know Peter Elbow's work? He has a book, Vernacular Eloquence, his most recent one. And he talks about the power of punctuation and how poets feel the most freedom to explore the role of punctuation in poetry, to communicate, not just to be accurate to grammar. So I thank you. I appreciate that.
Actually, can I chime in?
Yes, I want you to.
In the back of You Just Wait, Sylvia has written extensive back matter with all kinds of resources for young readers and writers. So for instance, she has, if kids want to pick their own poems and write their own story from it, she has 12 more poems from the Poetry Friday anthology for middle school. She has books about writing poetry, a wow. poetry writing checklist, places publish your poetry, poetry books by teens that have poems by teens, poetry collections with poems by individual poets, popular poetry anthologies, popular novels in verse, talking points for a book club type discussion, poetry performance tips, and it goes on. So I think that there's so much that that kids can do that using poetry as a springboard, just a starting point for all their discussions and all different types of learning.
I love it. That book looks wonderful. I'm going to order it for sure. And that sounds like a resource.
We're going to send you a copy for sure.
Oh, please
do. It's not out yet. It's out in September, but we'll send you an advanced copy next week.
You know what? That's perfect, because we will share this probably in September. So the timing will be perfect. And we would love to show a photo of it on our Instagram account so that families will know what to look for. But thank you so much. This was just really wonderful. So let's end by each of you sharing a favorite poem, something that's impacted you or that you hold in your heart or had some message that was important to you or some musical language. And then we can let everyone go look them up after you tell us which one you both like, you each like.
Awesome. I very quickly dug up one by Janet. It's from our very first book together, and it's very simple. It's intended for a very young audience, but honestly, it speaks to me as an adult, and it's called The Dew Kind. When my ball flies over the wall, you run and get it back. When my books fall down the stairs, you help me pick them up. Some friends are sea friends, me friends. You are the do kind, the me and you kind.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's darling. That. What a nice poem. Thank you, Sylvia. And that's beautiful, Janet. I love it.
And I think I'm going to share the lead-off poem in this book, You Just Wait. It's Who Am I? By Margarita Engel. And it originally appeared in the Poetry Friday anthology for middle school. Who Am I? By Margarita Engel. Each time I have to fill out a form that demands my ethnic origin, I try to do the math, half this, half that, with grandparents who are probably half something else, or maybe a quarter, or an eighth. Why do forms always ask what I am instead of asking who?
Oh,
so that was Who Am I? Who Am I by Margaret.
Feels. That's beautiful. Oh,
quite discussion provoking, a great discussion starting point.
Absolutely. I have so enjoyed meeting both of you. We have the same mission. It's wonderful to share it.
Yes. And
we look very forward to promoting your book and being able to share this podcast with our audience. So thank you for making time from your very busy schedules to be a part of this today.
I'm glad we were able to work it out.
Me too. You guys rock. This has been a podcast for PoetryTeaTime.com, sponsored by the Brave Writer Podcast, A Brave Writer's Life in Brief. Today, we had the pleasure of interviewing Sylvia Vardell and Janet Wong. They are the authors of a book coming out in September called You Just Wait, a Poetry Friday Power Book. This book is specifically beneficial for tweens and teens, and it serves to give both a set of poems that you can enjoy over tea time, in addition to a variety of writing activities and engaging ideas for exploring poetry in more depth. I hope you will consider ordering this book. There are places in it to write. There are lists of resources and movies and other books that they recommend to help you expand your appreciation for poetry. I'm Julie Bogart from Brave Writer and Poetry Tea Time. I'm so glad you were able to be with me today. Be sure to stop by our website, PoetryTeaTime.com, in order to find tips, treats, recipes, and other books that we suggest for your Poetry Tea Time pleasure. Have a great day.